Johnson, who threw that hat to the audience, and they threw it right back. That's what it's all about, the title.
There goes his shirt, too. See the shirt thrown right back at him by these ECW faithful.
Well, playing catch here all night.
I don't think John Cena understands. These ECW fans want no part of him whatsoever, except maybe his head.
I'll tell you, look at this. Nice throw. Cena, give it up. I've never seen nothing like this. And listen, I've seen ECW fans, as you, Joey, get on people. But not like this. I mean,
John Cena, perhaps the most controversial WWE champion in recent memory, usually gets a mixed reaction somewhat in front of WWE fans, but...
Could you imagine if you're... Well, it's not mixed tonight, by the way, do you?
No. Well, it's mixed between those flipping him the middle finger and those actually using the F word.
Yeah, there's several doing that.
Yep.
Okay. That's love.
I know that guy.
he said it's going to be a hostile environment. I don't know if he's this bad.
John Cena must feel like a Christian thrown to the lions.
Yeah, you know what? You got the feeling maybe John Cena's playing with them right now.
Welcome to OSW Review, the old school wrestling video podcast, filmed in glorious grapple vision and encoded with blast processing. We chronologically critique wrestling storylines pay per view by pay per view. This is your host, your boy Jay Hunter, joined as ever by Mr. OC.
Yep.
And V1.
All right.
Henceforth known as Stevolution.
Yeah, I like that.
It's ECW One Night Stand 2006, and it's coming up right now.
He reminds me look like Hulk Hogan. Look at his son, look at him. Now that redneck stays on hot tough. I'm not interested, that idiot tells you to.
Welcome, Noggers. Happy dreams are here again. Part 4 of our ECW saga. First we had ECW's first pay-per-view, Barely Legal. Then their highest rated show, Heatwave 98. Then the reunion show, ECW One Night Stand.
Your mother got me out!
And now we're at the return event kicking off the new breed Unleashed, One Night Stand 2006. Don't worry, the next show will cover ECW on Sci-Fi, peaking, well, troughing at December to Dismember. Thank you to everyone who picked up our OSWT, and it's also awesome, people sending us pictures of them wearing it at wrestling events, conventions,
it's
that kind of thing.
It's really awesome.
We actually had a few people asking to donate to the show, and that's extremely flattering. We don't ask for any donations. OSW is just our hobby, like, it's to share our love of wrestling with you, don't expect anything. Just to make it clear, OSW is free, and it always will be.
$3,000 or else you quit.
You don't need to do anything. Maybe if you just tell your mates about us, that'd be awesome. We're just stoked you enjoy the show. That said, if you want to throw us a couple of bucks or buy us a round of drinks, you can at pint.oswreview.com.
You set something up.
I will buy this when time this is coming out. We got a couple of comments from YouTube and our Facebook group. Samson Rosen writes, I love the community for OSW. Everyone's always in such a good mood on these videos. And by the way, hype episode, guys. Yeah, our fans are awesome. Really cool. They're nice blokes. Much like the Chinese, they're a great bunch of lads. Sean DeRyan says, these guys love The Simpsons seasons 3 to 10.
Yeah.
And 1 and 2 has its moments as well.
The fucking Homer Simpson, who actually sounds like that Homer Nixon fellow.
Yeah, it's fucking weird.
Let's all go for some steamed chocolate milkshakes.
Never Practical Creations replies, another great episode, guys. Always love the time and effort that you fellas put in and appreciate it greatly that you take time out of your personal lives to entertain us all. Oh, thank you. Bought my OSW review shirt today and can't wait to wear it underneath my American flag cape while I watch bald eagles mate during a free firearms rally. Americans are great. Rissy Pen V asked, I love these amazing episodes, but I wish they could give their opinion about current wrestling. Well, Rissy, why don't we check in on WWE and TNA right now and see what's happening?
It should be fun.
Daniel, hurry! Come on!
Okay, I got it.
We gotta go.
Breathe!
What are you doing in my bedroom?
You want to explain this?
I said, what are you doing in my bedroom?
I totally think I can fix it.
You're going to just fix this one? What about the 1,000 other ones we got to fix?
Oh, man. Yeah, I can't fix this.
I got to go to the carnival more often. What the hell have I been doing? Give me that horn, crazy Steve. Wait.
Her opponent from Dublin, Ireland, Becky Lynch.
Letter debuts here on NXT. Becky Lynch making her NXT debut.
I tell you what, and that's the best part about NXT, getting to see brand new superstars.
What the hell was that?
Nice.
Despite the critical and commercial success of 2005's One Night Stand, it was completely sandbagged on WWE television. The night on Raw after this milestone event, the sole mention of ECW was a throwaway line by Bischoff embodying the WWE sentiment.
Last night never happened.
And they move on to plugging Vengeance, which is like Triple H and Batista. But the success of ECW's DVD and reunion show was undeniable proof that there was gold in them there extreme hills. One Night Stand was now going to be an annual event, this 2006 edition launching the new ECW TV show on the Sci-Fi Channel starting 2 days later. More on that next time. One massive problem though, the success of the reunion show had nothing to do with Vince McMahon besides bankrolling it. How dare you? Vince demanded control, and if WWE are reviving ECW, it'll be with McMahon at the helm and Heyman as his unruly advisor. It could be incredible, like Heyman's creative genius and Vince's business sense. Why not? Like, it worked before and during the incredible SmackDown 6 era, and that was the best time in that show's history. This new ECW was to be a hybrid of ECW and WWE. ECW's hardcore wrestling, shaped with WWE's focus on character-centered storylines, which in theory would be an electric and sustainable product. Okay, we all know how it turns out, but at this point in time, the wrestling world was ecstatic. Hopes and expectations were sky high. Last year's reunion celebrated ECW's past, and this year kicks off its future. So, in short, last year was one last goodbye, and this year was a hello! Let's see how they got on. room in NYC. It's June 11, 2006, beaming into 304,000 homes. It's ECW 2 Nightstand. 2,460 rabid fans give their unconditional love and an average of $142 as Paul Heyman enters the arena. I'm watching the live version and I'm tasked V1 with the DVD version.
Yep.
And OOC, you got the WWE Network version. So let me know what they've cut out. You know what else was cut? Actually, if you watch the ads for One Night Stand, it says, yeah, you can see RVD, Terry Funk, Chris Benoit.
Don't miss Mr. Monday Night Rob Van Dam, the Crippler Chris Benoit, and the return of the Lord of the Hardcores Terry Funk when they go old school for one night only.
Benoit and Malenko were supposed to have an Eddie Guerrero tribute match on the pay-per-view.
Really? That would have been pretty good, actually, yeah.
Really good.
Unfortunately, Benoit was injured at Judgment Day wrestling fondly.
See, fondly, great wrestler.
Loves to have fun.
Yeah.
Telling you, boys.
Fucking injures people, my
friend. Telling us.
For about 12 years now. The crowd are so happy, so optimistic about ECW. Heyman is absolutely radiant tonight.
Is he glowing, is he?
He cuts an enjoyable but mechanical promo. He was in full sell mode, getting the info he needed to across.
Shill mode.
ECW is on Sci-Fi and it starts on Tuesday, and gets over new phrases like the new breed unleashed, and uncharacteristically misses a written line in his promo that he goes back and fills in.
I take it this was like completely written for him. This is like, this is what you've got to say, pal.
I feel my legs.
Heyman seems very optimistic here. Is he acting or is he just ignorant to what's going to happen? Like, does he must have an inkling as to what the plans are?
He knows, but I think he's going to keep it from happening as long as possible. The swinging schlong of the extreme. Oh, so 90s. He thanks the fans. And playing off last year's speech, Heyman says ECW is better than Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, and welcome to the rebirth of ECW. So first up, it's Taz versus Jerry Lawler. Our inaugural contest pits the Memphis King versus Suplex King. It's 97 all over again as Lawler revived his extremely crappy wrestling anti-ECW stance, including Taz in his barbs. The two had some pull-apart brawls, and Taz announced he'd leave the SmackDown commentary desk for ECW's. If you recall, these two actually had a feud in 2000, where Taz insulted JR over his Bell's palsy.
That's a bit cunty.
And Lawler came to the rescue. It's like, feuding with commentators, that's bottom of the barrel, cheap heat.
So at this point, though, Lawler is heel.
He just turned heel for the
pay-per-view
this
night. Shame.
Because like, Lawler hasn't been heel since before he got sacked. 2001.
Yeah, came back in night after Survivor Series.
Yeah, and he's been face ever since, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was nice to see him in his heel persona. He can still do it, you know, you can see it.
The cheek of Joey Styles, he goes on a rant about, I was like, oh, look at Jerry Lawler, he's all fat and stuff. And then fucking, here's Taz! I was like, oh my God. This is a no contest to her, you know?
Thankfully, Lawler slaps the shit out of Styles.
Yeah.
So this is Taz's first match in 4 years and his final WWE match. Taz obviously made no effort to get into shape for the match. Even calling this a match is generous. Styles jumps Lawler, and Taz applies the Taz mission and chokes out Lawler in 36 seconds for the win.
I know we've discussed before, but is Taz that delicate that he can't even go for 2 minutes? He literally slap on the Taz mission.
No, he's just too lazy.
Okay.
It's been 4 years, hasn't took a bump in that time. He just didn't want to wrestle.
His neck is knackered though, right? But like, is it Austin levels of bad?
But Austin's neck was knackered, and about 4 years later he said, yeah, no, my neck's fine, I could wrestle, I just don't want
to. Yeah. Well, Taz not have like so much pride that he'd say no to this?
Nope.
Well, clearly not. But he should have had so much pride that he said no to this.
He doesn't even have to take a bump.
No.
Did you know that ECW is the superior brand?
Yeah, me neither.
4 days prior, USA Network aired a special called WWE vs. ECW Head-to-Head. On the show, RVD jobbed out Rey Mysterio. Edge pinned Tommy Dreamer. Cena beat Sabu by DQ. And ECW won the Battle Royal for Brand Supremacy, which pit Raw vs. SmackDown vs. ECW talent. Big Show ripped off his Raw shirt, revealing an ECW shirt, and won it.
And thousands of ECW fans around the country went, "Oh no, fucking hell." I know he is way overweight at this point. I actually think he looks a lot better here than he does now. He looks like a fucking beast. Like,
he looks like a bigger giant, yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
All right, so, you know, he won the Battle Royal. Three things. One, Big Show was still contracted to Raw when the match was signed, so Raw still won. Two, Heyman was allowed to draft two WWE superstars to ECW. What's the point if they can just defect anyway?
Yeah, yeah.
And more importantly, three, fucking Big Show is the absolute opposite, the antithesis of ECW. He's been given every opportunity in WCW and WWF and given their world titles before he deserved either.
Absolutely. So,
fuck right off and your extreme Big Show.
Yeah. But they obviously had nothing else to do with him. I would put him on fucking ECW.
Yeah.
He is Mr. Utility Player. Yeah. He's like, he turns face and heel, you know, twice a year to see whatever they need.
He probably turns more than anyone else in WWE.
No question.
He is the Austin Aries of WWE, like.
And he's also the New Year's baby.
I'll splice the shit out of that. No one shall ever forget the New Year's baby. You tried to replace Daniel Bryan with that. He even took the fucking yes chant.
God.
Yes! 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 Ah!
Taz joins Joey Styles at the announcer's desk, which is uniquely adjacent to the entrance, and we have tonight's commentary team. Styles temporarily replaced JR as Raw commentator, as he had health issues, and when ECW was set to return, cut a fake shoot promo on May 1st, quitting after a segment with the Spirit Squad and being bullied by Jerry Lawler. This was so he could come back and commentate on ECW while JR returned to Raw. What do you make of Styles and Taz on commentary?
Shit, man. Like, he's lost a lot of what he had.
Like, double elimination! You know?
He doesn't do that near enough for my taste. You know, he's just another commentator now.
I thought this was going to be a good thing, because I thought Joey by himself on the last show got a bit boring, a bit grating. Just in general, I wasn't the biggest fan of his stuff, but I was wrong. Taz made it worse.
I actually thought they worked well enough together. They was kind of part work, part shoot, and minimal, insipid Taz commentary.
That would not be legal in freestyle or any other style of wrestling.
Number two, hey, it's Legend Killer Randy Orton versus Kurt Angle. Fuck yeah, I've been waiting for this. Fucking Blandy Blorton on our show.
Although the theme, are you lovers or haters? Hey,
I love it.
Oh, yeah. Lads, that's fucking great.
Oh, we all agree, great. Because his new song is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But this song is great, although it's not a heel song.
It's very facey.
Yeah.
Look at Orton, big shaper, strolling to the ring. Did you see him?
He's fucking loving the
fucking
heat.
Fucking Liam Gallagher here.
The embodiment of a WWE superstar. He is mercilessly booed upon his arrival. The opposite to everything ECW is about, and he definitely plays it up. Striking his pose with the backdrop of his golden shower. Joey Styles sarcastically notes, "He's a superstar."
As he's walking out, some little Indian kid decides to give him a dig. And his outfit is next to me. He's like proud as punch. And Randy turns around and goes, little punk motherfucker. I was, oh, I love it. Cheeky little bastard. You'd love to slap the taste out of his mouth, wouldn't you? Don't fucking hit a wrestler.
Grandson of Bob Orton Sr. and son of cowboy, ace cowboy Bob Orton. Randy initially joined the Marines before going AWOL in order to get dishonorably discharged. Worked out well, as in 2012 it precluded him from starring in WWE's Marine 3 film, as the real Marines complained. So he was in 12 Rounds Reloaded instead.
Isn't he also in that other movie about like the gay teacher or something?
These Things, I believe. That's what I am, yeah. He joined WWF's developmental ground, OVW, Ohio Valley Wrestling, in 2001, alongside Minnesota Stretching Crew member Brock Lesnar, the Leviathan Batista, and prototype John Cena.
That's a strong fucking main event.
Yeah.
Hmm. Debuting as a gormless babyface in April 2002, he oozed banality with trademark moves, crossbody off the top rope, and standing dropkick. And making an O with his arms.
That's right, the Randy O.
He quickly went down with a shoulder injury. It proved to be a blessing, though, as during his convalescence, he gave RNN updates, transforming into a self-centered, cocky heel. Joining Evolution quickly afterwards, he developed his awesome Legend Killer gimmick, a young upstart and the future of wrestling, spitting in the face and defeating said legends. Despite having an awesome match with Foley and long feud with The Undertaker, the gimmick got watered down as he started counting beatdowns, like beating up The Rock and Austin, as killing legends, as opposed to having a match. Never mind, winning the world title at SummerSlam 2004 from Redacted, he became the youngest WWE champion in history. How dare you get so over? Randy was battered, turned face, and beaten for the belt, and feud end by Triple H absolutely killing Orton's career. Batista would take his revenge spot against Tripper at the main event of WrestleMania 21, and it would take Orton many years to recover from that. So this period, 06-07, was the height of his unprofessional conduct, angry outbursts, terrorizing divas, and leaving brown substances in their bag. At this point, Orton was supposed to be serving a 60-day suspension for unprofessional conduct around WrestleMania 22, but of course WWE's Golden Boy was brought back early for this pay-per-view. Ooh, that'll teach him. That'll show the locker room who's boss. In any case, I love Legend Killer Randy Orton. It's my favourite incarnation of him.
It's one of the best gimmicks ever. You're guaranteed to get over.
Absolutely, Steve, yeah.
You know, and he didn't fuck it up. Anything he was doing, I thought was amazing. And
except for that fucking headlock. That killed his matches.
Kills his matches.
Kills,
yeah.
Randy Orton. He is facing Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle. Originally appearing in ECW in 96, he left furious over the angle where Raven crucified Sadman later that night. He debuted in the WWF at Survivor Series 99. His in-ring and it's true promos quickly rose to a world-class standard and won the WWF Championship in just 9 months. He went full throttle until headlining WrestleMania 19, part of the incredible feud he had with Brock Lesnar. But after appearing on a record 41 pay-per-views in a row, 47 if you count UK pay-per-views, he needed neck surgery and was out for a few months listening to Coldplay CDs.
A fate worse than death.
After having the match of the year with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 21, he was denied bestiality sex with Charmel and moved on to John Cena before being drafted to ECW in May 2006. And here he is. State of your new theme, mate.
Beep 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 beep. It's horrific.
This horrendous remix is to quell the "you suck" chant since he was faced.
Oh, I could go on that. Fuck you, Edge. It was Edge who brought those chants in.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I remember when he turned face when he came back big Roydy Magood out and he was feuding with Kurt and he started singing the "you suck" thing. I was like, it's one of the stupidest ideas ever because it's not going to get Edge over. and it's going to hurt Kurt. Gas shock horror, both happened.
Well, if I've got a shit thing, you're gonna have a shit thing. Mambo number five.
Murder's regular.
This song and the Gum Shield were a part of his newly acquired wrestling machine gimmick, where he dropped the comedy in favour of being a badass, snarling amateur wrestler. So, a figurehead for last year's anti-ECW Crusaders is now, yeah, ECW, woo!
Mm.
Kurt Angle, he was one of two draft picks Paul Heyman had for the new ECW, the other being RVD. It makes sense that he'd need to be drafted, as shouldn't you not go willingly, anti-ECW Crusader? In kayfabe, he loved going to ECW, but in reality, he actually hated being shipped off of SmackDown and onto the C-Show. Putting WWE guys in non-WWE groups, that smacks of invasion, 2001 watering down bollocks.
It hadn't been long enough to be able to pull that crap again, like, you know? Fans are going to be butthurt over that for a long time, that fucking invasion angle.
ECW don't have enough name talent, so let's fill it with WWE guys. Like, ECW should at least initially just make it with veterans and your new ECW stars. Alright, kick off. The crowd cannot wait to get in as many chants as possible. Fuck 'em up, Angle, fuck 'em up, pussy, and fuck you, Orton. And the lads just ride it out with headlocks and time wasting.
There's also break his ankle. Angle's gonna kill you, like a Joe chant. Fans are awesome this much.
Gimmick-wise, thought it's a perfect matchup. Angle is the ass-kicking wrestling machine versus Orton, the cowardly pretty boy that constantly looks for a timeout outside the ring. Kurt easily outclasses Orton with double-leg takedowns, showing his dominance by offering him his head and immediately countering the headlock. But fuck me, did you see his Cena level loosest armbar in history?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Oh my god. Then the power half, aka the nothing. And a hug. More insults hurled at Orton. You can't wrestle. Orton sucks dick. Orton swallows. And the most insulting of them all, go fuck Cena. Holy shit. Oh, and we get boring chants whenever Randy locks on his headlock. They don't give him an inch.
I had a good chuckle listening to these chants, except for the you can't wrestle chant. You're wrong. He's a fucking tremendous wrestler. He might be boring, but he's a tremendous wrestler.
Triple Germans by Angle receives a standing ovation, but Orton counters the follow-up Angle slam with an arm drag, and back into that Randy Orton headlock. Successful Angle slam, but Orton kicks out. As the fans chant break his ankle, Orton counters an ankle lock with a roll through and capitalizes with a neck crank. Kurt Angle counters the RKO, well, Orton takes a back bump, and escapes a roll up before applying the ankle lock, getting the tap out victory at 15-18.
I have nothing good to say about this match whatsoever. It was torture. That's it, man. It was headlock, headlock, rest hold, roll out of the ring, roll back into the ring. That was it. Fuck, man. I was expecting both of you to have the same opinion.
I actually really liked this match.
Thank God.
I thought that Kurt was really over. The fans were into him. I think that if Kurt had been well enough to not need to, you know, like cut his contract and go, which what happened about 2 or 3 weeks after this, like, I really liked where Paulie was going with the character and stuff and the gum shields and the being a beast and not taking mental fucking bumps, just being like a ground based wrestler. It's just a shame that he couldn't keep it up. I thought that Randy just fucking took all of the heat in a stride and was just loving it out there, just being an absolute cunty heel. I totally agree with you about the headlock, so that kind of slowed the match down a bit, but overall, good heat, good match, good moves, and a good way to open the show.
A highly entertaining opener. I'll admit, this match is definitely structured around the crowd. Like, knowing they'd want to just chant and basically not watch, they wrote it out. They took a load of short breaks, and as opposed to Kurt Angle's full throttle style. I thought Angle showcased very strong here tonight. He's super over and respected by the ECW crowd, out-wrestling WWE's prodigy, who demands two refs to help him to the back, which the fans eat up by shouting pussy at him. And he's like, he smiles and exclaims, "Ah, my fans, my fans." Awesome heel prissy athlete and perfect for this crowd. Orton tapped tonight, but he'd get his win back later that month at Vengeance. Ooh, we got a quick ad for ECW's upcoming tour dates. Yeah, Heyman would have killed to have toured that often. Match number 3, the full-blooded Italians versus Super Crazy and Tajiri. The FBI are back. This time, it's the tag team of Tony Mameluke and Little Guido, accompanied by Big Guido, brought back just for this show. Little Guido spent the last year on SmackDown back under his slave name, Nunzio. They're facing Guido's opponents from last year, Super Crazy and...
Tadgers.
The fans giving a loud welcome back chant as Tajiri was released 6 months prior. Super Crazy, part of the Mexicools, spent the last year feuding with the FBI on Velocity. Mameluke is Mr. One Move of Doom, key locks, and working towards key locks. Tadgers is the most popular wrestler here. He gets a pop for nonchalantly breaking up a rest hold. Oh, we're reminded that it's no DQ in ECW, so the tag partners are abiding by tag rules out of politeness. Super Crazy deadlifts Mameluke just about and slams him down, and the match picks up as soon as Mameluke leaves the ring. Double Tree of Woe and baseball slides by the Japanese buzzsaw, and as the crowd call Crazy Nacho Libre. Which is a terrible fucking movie.
Yeah, what a bad movie.
I love
yeah.
Jack Black as well.
It must have only recently come out, like, at this point.
Acai Moonsault by Crazy as we see the steel guardrail. I think it looks great, much more intimate than the thick black pads you get these days. WWE actually implemented it in 98.
I don't like it though, I have to say. I think it looks carny. I think the black wall is cool. Like.
So you think with the steel railings you can see through it, so it means like the picture you watch on TV is more colourful, so it doesn't have a large chunk of black constantly on screen?
Yeah, fair enough.
We got a lovely double team camel clutch and dropkick to the face by the FBI. Tadgers replies with a double springboard elbow, stinging sidekick, then we get a do-si-do and tandem tarantulas. Steve! Two tarantulas! So we need two Marge Simpson impressions.
Bart Simpson, you little bollocks, get in there and watch Chrissy the Clown! Homer Simpson, get in... Oh, bollocks. Homer Simpson, get your arse in the kitchen and make me a cup of tea, I gobshite you!
I like this gimmick.
Ooh, we get a bit of eliminators with double kicks to Big Guido for his spot of the night. Little Guido kicks Super Crazy out and the FBI double fisherman buster the Japanese buzzsaw and get the three in 12:25.
This match was okay. I didn't enjoy it as much as the first one. I thought that the opening was pretty decent. There was some nice chain wrestling, a few decent spots. But the match had no plot or flow or anything. It was just... I'm going to do a few spots, I'm going to tag you in, and you're going to do a few spots. I think the show overall would have been better if they had it opened with this match and then maybe left Kurt and Randy for later on. Also, I fucking hated the afters with Big Show. Despised it.
It was mildly entertaining, but the FBI are just bollocks.
Yeah.
I'm not interested. I don't know, you know, what purpose they serve. Like... Super Crazy and Tadgers, I wanted to see more from them. I would like those two to have a singles match.
It would have been a much better match, yeah, definitely. I really like Super Crazy. I think he's a really good talent. It's just, he doesn't look like a star at all.
He's like,
and he got bigger and bigger as time went on.
Mate, I'd say, like, because he's quite fit, so maybe he's just in the chipper every night, you know? Thought it was another enjoyable match. Not as explosive as last year's Triple Threat, but good job everyone except Tony Mameluke. One thing's clear, Tajiri, the most popular dude here. Like, everyone's over, but he is super over. So, of course, this is his final WWE match. Since then, he's wrestled all over Japan and is still working today, appearing part-time for New Japan. Afterwards, Extreme Big Show, Mr. ECW, enters and hoofs out the actual ECW lads. Thanks very much.
Everyone. He just batters everyone.
ECW.
Oh yeah.
He shows off his new finisher. The most iconic finisher ever. A cobra clutch into a backbreaker. And the, ooh, come on, submit. And then the ragdoll.
Oh, is that what he was trying to make him submit?
Ah.
He was just wobbling him. I like the amount of replays they showed. It was like, oh my god, he hit a move! How extreme this is!
Yeah, this is definitely not a reunion show. This is an integrate WWE guys into an ECW show. Extreme Big Show, big shrone schnutter on him as well.
It just dawned on me there. It hasn't been since this Tuesday in Texas that the word Tuesday has meant or come up so much on the show we've done. They wouldn't fucking stop talking about Tuesday. Fuck off! Just ears blown out all around the world. Like, I'm really sorry.
So next up, we get an ad for ECW on Sci-Fi on
Tuesday.
On the day after Monday. Next up is a JBL promo. Whoa! JBL is back in the skybox. Just like last year, he's serenaded with Fuck You SmackDown and Shut the Fuck Up. Unlike Kurt Angle, he's prepared a response to You Suck Dick Chance. Channeling Harlem Heat, he says,
I see no women here. You chanting about a male organ, tell me who the fruity booty is.
Has JBL been living in, like, New Orleans for the last few years? That was an amazing impression.
No, an air conditioner fell on the couch. It was great.
It was wonderful.
That's all I got.
JBL gloats about getting away with bullying the Blue Meanie before disbelievingly asking why Taz left cable TV, i.e. SmackDown, to commentate on ECW. Taz is like, yep. It's like a guy who admits to signing like a 5-year mobile phone contract. Yep. While Star Trek little geeks love the Sci-Fi channel where they can get their ECW, he'll be commentating on SmackDown with Michael Cole. Taz quips it'll be the blind leading the blind. Well, this is news, as JBL had just retired less than 3 weeks earlier due to his back injuries, which made him an even worse wrestler than he already was.
So and this is the birth of JBL as commentator. We didn't know what was coming to us. He says that ECW is shit, but that SmackDown is the A show, which is clearly complete rubbish. Look at yourself first, mate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what would JBL say about, you know, having fun, and, you know, what would he say?
Well, with regards to Matt Hardy, he's fun to watch.
I was more specific on a particular night. He's called.
Oh, we fought on Friday night, Michael. Something along those lines.
Yeah, that was it. That was it.
He parts with "Kiss my ass. This show sucks." Definitely another get my information across promo. Nowhere near the cutting seriousness of last year, and the fans enjoyed insulting him. Weren't that bothered with him. Of course, he'd be back wrestling in under 2 years for a wee while and quit full-time after wrestling Rey Mysterio at Mania 25.
That's right, yeah.
Mm. So this promo, what was the point of it? Like, to promote the fact that he will be commentating on SmackDown?
Yeah, it's a talk about
was
SmackDown.
What the hell, this took up about 10
Thursday.
Minutes.
Thursday!
2 days after Tuesday!
Basically, all he was there to do was to say that he was going to be commentating on SmackDown and to give out about the paying fans in the arena and the paying fans at home. If I was in the crowd, you know, and clearly JBL is attacking you as a fan, all you're doing is playing up to him by chanting. Cross your arms, turn around and stay silent. He will go away very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big JBL marker. I was entertained.
That's what I've got coming up.
List of JBL being a cunt. This should be awesome.
JBL! Massive fan of hazing wrestlers. In his book, Edge describes JBL coming into the shower and literally sudding his bum. Edge no-sold it and he was left alone after that.
If he came up behind me and started sudding my bum, I would throw the back of my head into his face so fucking hard.
And then
he would probably kick kill me afterwards. You know, he's about a foot taller than me, but you know, for those few seconds, it would feel amazing.
I bet it would.
Lots of stories about shower molesting, supposedly happening to Paul London a lot, Kendrick and the Hardy Boys too.
So what you're saying is that he likes long-haired pretty boys.
Hmm.
I got a lot of homosexual spirit in here, Michael.
Yeah, whenever you come in, yeah. So then you get the outright bullying, of course the Blue Meanie incident, then he's tearing up René Dupree's clothes, only referring to him as faggot, and shoving a French flag down the jacks. He also threw The Miz out of the locker room and made him change in the hallway. And then people just quit over his bullying, like WCW ref Billy Silverman. Palmer Cannon, do you remember him? He was a short-lived network exec on SmackDown.
That's right. I actually kind of liked his gimmick. I was dying to see where it went.
Like, he left, got on a plane, went home, and then faxed his resignation.
Shit.
But I suppose there is good to Bradshaw's bullying. After a guy, possibly Duke Josie or Brian Christopher, gloated about date raping a girl, JBL stripped him naked and threatened to rape him until he cried.
That's okay. It's not going to make up for the fact that he legitimately molested other wrestlers.
It is worth noting that this carry-on was almost encouraged in the 80s and 90s, but it's just at the time WWE were trying to clean up, and so all this stuff got out.
Mm.
And of course there'd be other known cunts in the locker room, like Benoit and Hardcore Holly, that would just give everyone
it was Joey
time.
Until he knocked them out.
Yeah.
Awesome. So one punch.
So JBL's antics are the most publicised. Yeah, I get that wrestling, you know, has a lot of ribbing, but this seems both malicious and homosexual.
What does he have to gain from this? He's a very wealthy man, very successful, and he's feeling people up in a fucking shower?
Mm.
Oh, that'll show him. Let's make out, that'll show you. I don't know.
Representing SmackDown, World Champion, Rey Mysterio!
Match number 4, the World Heavyweight Champion, Rey Mysterio versus Sabu. No real build-up, Sabu was announced as the number 1 contender on Raw the week prior. They schmozzed and he put Ray Ray through a table. So this is the first of 2 WWE Championship matches on ECW soil. Heyman vowed that any WWE titles won would be rechristened ECW titles.
I thought your little blurb about the last match they had was your review of this match. They schmozzed and went through the table.
Pretty accurate. Yeah, it is accurate.
Also, I forgot about that Ray was champ during this match. It just it all came crashing back. It's just, God, is this the worst ever title run in history?
It is worse than Jack Swagger, who had a terrible first title run, but he did beat Randy Orton on pay-per-view, like the next month. Mm. And it's around the same as Jeff Hardy, do you remember his first run? Where he just got blown up by the pyro. He didn't get to beat Triple H at the pay-per-view, it was a triple threat. Blown up by the pyro, drops the belt. Then he gets busted for meth. Comes out with WWE pyro and his WWE POD song and instantly gets booed.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's better than your little rap from the last one.
Who's that jumping off the boat? R-O-N Mastrio. My knee is blown.
Glad that that's finally out in the world. We've been singing that for years.
Years. I got this amazing tweet. It was like, OSW, sing the Christmas classics, all your favourites. Like, we should release them.
We should.
Some kind of Christmas Gansy as well. Ray has an old school ECW boxing robe made special just for tonight. No, poor lad. Equally rare that he's got a world title. Rey Mysterio taking time out of his busy schedule, losing clean on SmackDown.
What is it? He lost Kali, he lost the Big Show, Mark Henry, Finley? He lost to Finley?
Yeah, one of the worst booked champions in history. Since winning the World Championship 2 months ago at WrestleMania 22, he's lost 6 times. Pinned clean by Mark Henry, Great Khali,
Funley,
and RVD. He is 4-6 so far. What's happening? Why is he, like, he is a merch-selling monster.
He's, like, number 2 for, like, 10 years, right?
And, you know, he has the Latin demographic as well, so, like... And, you know, he's a good wrestler.
He used to come out on a lawnmower. Save his knee anyway.
Why would you treat him so badly if he's your big cash cow?
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Did Ray not learn from last year?
Wait, I haven't. All right, we'll get there. Rey Mysterio, he's got a pandering mask with ECW sewn onto the back, which Taz sandbags, calling him a suck-up. And he just outs him. He only spent 3 months in ECW.
God.
Oh, Steve, what do you think of Ray's shiny pants as opposed to his baggy trousers?
I said, fair play, Ray.
I agree.
He looks great.
He looks taller.
Mm. Yes.
Chair joust to start off. Sabu hits a poetry in motion, but Ray's too short to fall and hit his neck off the chair, so he just kind of holds the chair instead. Fuck's sake, man. 619! Boo!
Damn it, D-Lo. Didn't work last year.
Just do the battered sausage.
The flying phallus.
Poor Rey Mysterio. He can't catch a break or a chair as Sabu throws a chair into his skull. Yeah, you suck dick chants. They're usually reserved for like JBL Orton. Poor old Rey gets it. There's one kid decked out in Cena gear at this show. It's hilarious. He's the only one cheering Rey Mysterio. Poor lad. Yeah, we never got a heel turn by Rey, and it's been 12 years in the WWE.
Has he ever been heel ever in any company?
In WCW with the Filthy Animals.
Okay. But a crazy long run to not turn.
Yeah, it's like Ricky Steamboat.
Mm. Was he ever heel?
Nope.
That'll never be beaten.
Oh, I got a lovely moonsault by Ray Ray and, ooh, a 69er pin.
The sexy pin.
I actually have a thing on sexy pin.
Oh, yeah.
Arabian Facebuster by Sabu gets a springboard seated senton through a table as a receipt. Ah, looked great and gets a holy shit chant. These two work really well together. Ray's definitely trying harder to please the ECW cred. Ray misses a seated senton into a chair, takes a smashing chair throw, and the coup de grace, a springboard DDT, through a table on the outside. It was an awesome car crash spot. And Sabu didn't botch it. He never botched in this match.
2 years in a row. He didn't botch last year either. I mean, has he ever got 2 matches? No. You can hardly say these are in a row, of course.
Some dickweed in a bow tie calls off the match. The chance of bullshit. Mysterio scooted backstage pretty sharpish with Sabu in tow. Steve, that just ends in a...
No contest!
In 909, as per WWE City Law. I can believe the character of Rey Mysterio can't continue, but I don't buy for a minute that Sabu's out.
No. I felt a bit bad for Rey, but by the end, he actually had won them back over. Sabu, big thumbs up. He didn't botch. And it's like, I actually liked the ending. It was a cool spot. The crowd popped. But what's your plan here? To say that they're both equal and you're going to have more matches? Or is it that Rey can't even beat this fucking arsehole who, you know what I mean, has never been a main eventer? Or are you trying to put him over by saying that, oh my god, he took the world champion to the very... Like, I don't get what they're trying to do, so... Meh, overall.
I fucking love this match.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really, really did. And I wanted not to. I thought Mysterio, he didn't learn from last year in a way because he's pandering to the crowd again. However, he really put in a shift this year. Really pulled out all the stops. I hadn't seen him wrestle that well in a long time or since. And, you know, a lot of good stuff. A lot of, you know, tidy wrestling. Brutal chair shots as well that I was surprised Ray was taking. And he seemed to take most of it. The end spot was really good. But, like, yeah, the no contest thing was very disappointing. Great point, Steve. He gets the crowd on back on his side, which is no mean feat. They wanted to boo him out of the building.
Yeah, I also really enjoyed this match. Way above expectations. Very happy to say that it was a fast-paced spot fest. Mysterio had righted the embarrassment that was last year's one-night stand, but still leaves to bullshit chance. Sadly, this feud won't continue at all. Rey moves on to King Booker, Kennedy, and Fumbly. Even if they did continue with Rey and Sabu, it would be on SmackDown, so any follow-up would be inferior to tonight's great matchup. This neither man jobs finish was because WWE had no plans on giving Sabu the belt and wanted to keep him strong as he'd go back to wrestling Cena, facing him next month at Vengeance.
I figured he lost that.
Oh yeah, tapped clean, no problem.
So you have to keep him strong to job to job. Fuck's sake.
And with that, have a knee! See you in 6 months. It's time for the ad break questionarium. So the question at the ad break questionarium is,
who's that jumping off the boat?
ECW Tag Team Tug-of-War!
Spicoli Driver.
Oh no, it's the Van Damme!
Who can say five stars?
Yeah. ECW Extreme Championship Wrestling figures and ring each sold separately.
Get extreme!
ECW!
So the question at the outbreak questionarium was, who's that jumping off the boat? The answer is...
R.O.N.
Mastrio. His knee is blown. Weren't you listening?
We sang it last month, Jesus.
Match number 5. It's the co-holders of the Hardcore Championship, Mick Foley and Edge, versus Tommy Dreamer and Terry Funk. We get a promo package for the upcoming bout. What do you think of it?
Tits.
Lita.
Yeah. Don't remember anything else from it.
Yeah, I thought it was great, except he says, "I'm the biggest star this industry has ever seen." Like, Mick Foley, heel or face, would never say that. Mm. You know? A heel Mick Foley, eh? No, he's not doing a stand-up in Dublin. The story here was that Edge had earned Mick Foley's respect after their excellent match at WrestleMania 22, where Edge speared Foley through a flaming table on the outside. It was awesome. Edge accepted Foley's offer to be the co-holders of the defunct Hardcore Championship, raising the ire of Heyman, Terry Funk, and Tommy Dreamer, and sets up this match. Edge and Dreamer had a hardcore match on Raw, of note. Edge pinned Dreamer while Lita straddled his face. Nice.
Yep.
Maybe a mixed reaction for this man here.
So, Mick Foley cuts a fun comedy heel promo, longing for when ECW was run by a creative genius.
Let's hear it for Stephanie McMahon.
I honestly thought he was going to say Todd Gordon, and he says, Stephanie McMahon. Long live the Alliance.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. It's doubly fun as the Invasion is forgotten about in WWE history, even when the Rise and Fall of WCW DVD didn't mention it.
Yeah.
Edge gets some comedy heel heat saying the fans will masturbate to pics of his girlfriend Lita. I've written here. Then Lita happens. Oh man, this promo, I was like, ah. Oh. She speaks like a heel Jerry Seinfeld. Tommy's the innovator of silence. Sitting on your face was more action than everyone here had in a month. And what's the deal with airline peanuts? The packets are so hard to get into. Who are they trying to keep out? We get some she's a crack whore chants, but the crowd are generally unmoved. Out come their opponents, Tommy Dreamer and Terry Funk with Beulah McGillicuddy. You know the way Terry Funk walks? He kind of like staggers. It's like he's taking a shit in his pants. It's amazing. Thank you, Andrew Thompson, pointing that out. On the mic, Beulah fares much better, saying the trash Lita spews out of her mouth is better than what she puts in it. Then Lita, for a split second, makes a cock gesture with her tongue in her cheek. Like, get in.
Is Beulah implying that Lita is a slut? When she's going out with Edge, was she still banging other men? Was that part of the character?
No, no. That she was just a heel for having cheated on Matt Hardy.
Okay, well then.
But she was faithful to Edge.
So
I'd
she's
imagine.
Giving her boyfriend a blowjob. So?
Ooh. Hear about this on the sermon on Sunday.
Beulah asked to make it a six-way. Although not officially announced, it's accepted. So it's a six-person tag match. Mick Foley, Edge and Lita versus Terry Funk, Tommy Dreamer and Beulah. Much like the main event of Heatwave 98, Edge and Dreamer have some wrestling exchanges before the hardcore begins. Then silence. This storyline is not over.
I don't understand why Foley heel turned. Like, in kayfabe history, aren't himself and Terry Funk great friends and they've been tag champions and stuff like that? I don't get it. I think it's silly.
Well, this whole angle was Mick Foley's idea and it was supposed to be this huge thing involving Vince McMahon, but it got changed and jostled and pared back to what we got. The whole thing is in Hardcore Diaries, which is a
terrible
book.
Terrible,
it's a step
book.
Down from his first two excellent books. It was supposed to mirror Funk and Foley's feud in ECW, where Terry Funk ripped on WCW and Foley defended it. So now Funk ripped on WWE and Foley would defend that. So Foley was called a Terry Funk ripoff, a prostitute and a sellout, but defended his actions saying that, unlike Tommy Dreamer and Terry Funk, the biggest risk he took was Mr. Socko, and he did what it took to become famous and a superstar. Which is right. There were some great segments with Mick Foley and Paul Heyman. It's weird when you look back. It's like, this is great, but it's just met with silence. Like, because he had a promo with Heyman, and he was like, you know why I got out of ECW? Because there's only four ways you leave ECW. A drunk, a drug addict, crippled, or a corpse.
That's a great line.
It's awesome. It's also true.
Yeah.
You know? And Mick Foley and Terry Funk had exchanges as well, where Terry Funk is like, oh, your wife's a whore. And he's like, yeah. Yeah, fuck your son. Eh. Fuck WWE. Ooh, I'll fight you. Yeah, but two big things. Nobody cares about this storyline. And WWE fans especially do not care about Tommy Dreamer or Terry Funk. It would have done better if they were in front of like New York, Philly crowds instead of like kind of Southwest. But despite these setbacks, it's up to them now to save the feud with this pay-per-view blow-off match. Foley tries to bail on wrestling the Funker. It's surreal hearing Cowardly Foley say, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, I want to leave.
And it soon becomes a four-man trash brawl. Baseball slide into a garbage can. Cookie sheet headshot. Hip toss onto a ladder. Funker does his Benny Hill ladder airplane spin. But the lads only bump once, so it's shit. The crowd are very forgiving, though. The heels take control with a low blow from She's a Crack Whore Leader. The co-holders of the Hardcore Championship break out a large sheet of plywood covered in barbed wire, which excites the crowd. But the insatiable cunts still chant, "We want fire," a few seconds later.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't even done the spot. Let them do it, and if it doesn't appease you, then you can chant, but Jesus Christ, like, let them do their match.
Everyone bumps on the barbed plywood, except Edge, the only guy with a big future in WWE.
However, there's a spot where Funk pulls his legs and he falls, and like his face gets caught by the side of the barbs. That was really dangerous looking.
And that's the excuse for everyone to blade. Foley wraps his forearm in barbed wire and decks Terry in the face, which garners "You sick fuck" chants. Funker, oh man, he does a masterful job of selling it, wailing "my eye," and is taken backstage. This guy, like, it's a shame WWE didn't use him more. He is great. He's like the master of garnering sympathy.
Yes, absolutely. Although the fans shit all over the spot and immediately chant for Sandman. Have you ever watched a wrestling match ever? He's going to come back out for the finish. It's how wrestling works.
But was it, like, how bad was Chainsaw Charlie?
It was pretty
horrific, gosh, yeah. Really bad.
It was, like, great for, like, you know, that first, and he comes out with Leatherface shit. But then it's just an outfielder who can't wrestle a bump.
Have I ever done my impression of Leatherface?
No, I don't think so.
You know, at the end when he comes out with the chainsaw. And he's
Yes,
I love it, Steve. Lita takes out Dreamer with a leg drop onto a barbed wire baseball bat between his legs. With the others incapacitated, Foley whips out Mr. Socko, a hilarious child-friendly gag and great heel move towards the ECW fans, and applies the mandible cock... And applies the... Mandible cock? And applies the mandible claw to Beulah. Edge sets up a pump-handled slam position with Beulah. I thought it was amazing because she was trapped in a, like, a doggy-style position.
I thought Lita was going to get on... the front, like some kind of spit roast.
Yeah. How about if Foley did the mandible cock on Lita? So, you know, you could just...
And wouldn't you know it, Terry Funk returns from backstage with a barbed wire 2x4. Setting it alight, holy shit, he smacks Foley with it. With the barbed wire 2x4 that's on fire, sending him off the apron and onto the barbed wire plyboard below.
Oh my god!
So it's up to Dreamer and Beulah now. A hope spot for the faces as Dreamer DDTs and does an STF with barbed wire instead of a face lock onto Edge before Beulah and Lita. Yeah, it's not as hot when both women are fully clothed.
No.
Edge responds with a sit-out rear mat slam, a.k.a. the Edge-O-Matic.
God.
Not to be confused with his educator. Any ideas?
Are we going to have to do a segment where we could draw Edge's nerds?
Yes.
Hold on, what was the one you said?
So, Edge responds with a sit-out rear mat slam, just...
Edge-O-Matic.
That's the Edge-O-Matic, using a barbed wire. Not to be confused with his educator, it's his inverted sharpshooter.
Hmm.
His execution, which is the Impaler DDT, even flow DDT, or the Half Nelson Bulldog, aka the Winning Edge.
Ooh. I've never heard that.
No, but
yeah,
I like it.
Yeah,
though.
Me neither. That Wikipedia has.
Hmm.
With no one left to help her, Edge mows down Beulah with a spear, covers her with the penetration pin, technically called the organ grinder.
I have a... with a rapey pin. Also, you can have the penetration pin.
Well, Steve, have you seen my notes?
No!
And he pumps the count to three, thrusting with his groin. It was awesome.
Is he still technically covering her? He's raising himself up.
I think he holds the shoulders to the mat, doesn't okay. he? Jesus, rapey pin!
Edge picks up the win in 1845. So I was just going to go through my list of inappropriate pins.
Nice.
Okay. So earlier tonight, you had Ray Ray doing the 69er. And then you had the penetration pin, which is the rapey pin we're seeing here. Then Edge's penetration pin with the pump action. Chris Sabin's cradle shock pin, where he'll, you know, he does the cradle shock and then he just sits down and pulls back, so it's like nose up his arse pin.
Kissy bum bum.
Kissy bum bum.
And Lita's said no muff dive, I guess. Yeah. And lastly, Scott Hall's, okay, if the opponent is knocked out, you know, legs are normal, he only moves one leg to the side and slithers on.
That's well creepy, isn't it?
Yeah.
With his big mustache and all.
So, what do you think of the match?
Like, it started off, got into, you know, classic ECW vicious garbage match. I actually found it quite entertaining towards the end. A little bit too much blood, maybe, for my liking. I do, you know, everyone likes a bit of blood, but some of it was difficult to watch. Funker was, he played it up very well. You know, even to the extent of doing the pow, pow moment, you know, which is pretty good. But yeah, I didn't buy into the Mick Foley Edge alliance. But it was probably a little bit better than I thought it would be.
I did not like this match. I hate garbage wrestling. I thought this was kind of disgusting. Lots of blood, barbed wire. Although I did enjoy Funk and Edge. I thought Funk sold everything well. And I thought the win really helped Edge, but I did not like this at all.
This was a gimmick match. I actually thought it was very enjoyable, but it also worked like a checklist. Like, they moved from spot to spot with the barbed wire, the barbed plywood, barbed 2x4, add fire. You know, there's no flow to the match. Edge was showcased to have a much rougher edge, pun not intended, with a bright future, dishing out punishment and winning the match against the Nostalgia Act in front of their crowd. I was like, man, I love Terry Funk selling it. He's just amazing at it. Like, even at the end, he remained caught in the barbed wire, wailing to be cut out.
It looks so nasty. It's like his arms.
And he rightly gets a standing ovation on their way out. Yeah, so I quite enjoyed it. This was Funker's last WWE match and was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2009. Dreamer would stay in the new ECW while Mick Foley would move on to feuding with Ric Flair. Wasn't great.
Yeah, it's the two of them hate each other and they weren't willing to fucking sell at all. It was really bad shit.
You think that the promos would be great as, you know, at least. But
maybe it's like they were too real, you know? Like, they were just trying to fucking hurt each other as opposed to entertain us.
Ooh, what you said at line 6, paragraph 2. Ooh, yeah. Andrew Thompson tells the silver lining. If it counts, both Edge and Foley are still the reigning co-holders of the Hardcore Championship.
Awesome.
So we get an ad for the premiere of ECW on Sci-Fi. Backstage, in front of coloured lamps, we look at a pensive John Cena and the shadow boxing RVD before their championship match tonight. So next up is Balls, 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 Mahoney coming out to a shitty, shitty, shitty cover versus Masato Tanaka. No Mike Awesome, despite stealing the show at last year's One Night Stand and being the number one guy fans wanted to see brought back, he was asked not to return. He was not asked to return.
Huge difference.
Brilliant.
What a come down from the last match. It's in the death spot. Piss break match before the main event. The former Santa Claus does his balls punching spot and fails to sell a pescado correctly, so they brawl outside. Did you see it? Because Tanaka just jumps over the rope and they kind of... Jesus Christ.
It's weird, isn't it? Like, I have no problem you smashing me in the fucking brain or grating me with a cheese grater or barbed wire I'm not taking a bump.
It's because you don't know how to.
Yeah, you're just a terrible wrestler.
Yes.
Yeah. Balls hits a superplex and it's time to go home. Cora Ratana. Cora Mata. Duel of the Fates shit chair battle. Huh. And Balls channels his inner Mike Awesome, cracking Tanaka with a sick chair shot. At least it was just one. Mahoney gets the 3 in 5:04. Of course he did. Balls was hired for the new ECW whilst Tanaka was not. Tanaka is not bumping for him like he would for Awesome.
And he fucking shouldn't. He fucking shouldn't. Mm-hmm. Although I'm glad there was only one chair shot, it doesn't make up for the rest of the match.
It's a waste of time. Why was Balls hired anyway?
Yeah.
ECW, he's an alum. He's the original originator.
It's like,
I don't fucking know, because he was picking the garbage out and he agreed to work for 20 quid or something.
Yeah. And a hang sandwich.
And a hang sandwich. Talentless.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give out here.
Eugene?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Fucking Eugene.
Fucking Eugene.
Interrupts the broadcast to work the crowd. He has a poem. Nick Dinsmore himself, he's actually a decent wrestler, but I fucking can't stand him playing an oblivious retard, a dim-witted fuck on TV. I guess it's supposed to appeal to children. Like, he steals other people's finishers, the stunner, the rock bottom, that kind of thing. But I find it highly offensive having some guy use mental disability as a gimmick. Some low-rent, punch-and-judy, exploitative bullshit. This is my ultra-go-away heat gimmick. I absolutely can't stand it. It's disgusting, and fuck you, Vince. You know what I think about this gimmick? Is it Kurt Angle versus Eugene, SummerSlam 2005? Walks up to him in the ring, smashes him, clatters him across the face.
And how'd you feel about Nick Dinsmore in general? It was a job. He didn't deserve to be treated like that by Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle was taking his anger out at a gimmick. He shouldn't have been taking it out at a fellow wrestler trying to earn a career.
He's accepted the money and the career and the gimmick. And Kurt Angle is slapping the gimmick. And his face just happens to be there as well. How do you feel about Eugene?
Oh, completely agree.
It's one of the worst gimmicks they've ever done. I understand they were trying to aim towards a kid market, but I think even the youngest and most naive of children can see through this. It's horrific, and there's no possible chance that it was ever going to get over or make money. So they should have done this maybe once or twice, seeing, okay, this is fucking awful, right? We're going to send you back down to Florida for 6 months. We're going to bring you up. We're going to repackage it, and yay. But no, fucking went with it. It's horrific.
Like, but the way they portray it is disgusting as well. It's like, it's not even a class clown. It's, let's laugh at the simpleton. The joke is on him. Mm-hmm. It's so mean-spirited.
Like, if you want to look at it in like a non-kayfabe thing, this is a man who's mentally challenged. He clearly wouldn't have the capability to weigh the risks of being a wrestler and stuff. It's insane to think that a publicly traded company would ever allow this to ever happen. I mean, the nearest he'd ever get to the Fed is a Make-A-Wish program. And that's not being bad. That's just true. And it's how it should be. It's horrific.
But neither would a zombie.
True that.
Yeah, supposedly great heel heat for the ECW crowd, but it's instant go-away heat for me. Sandman makes his entrance to the ring.
It was completely unrecognizable.
Jesus Christ.
Vince McMahon, too cheap to pay for Metallica this time. So he...
Pay Motorhead!
Vince McMahon, too cheap to pay Motorhead this time. So Sandman enters to a shitty Jim Johnson cover instead, which absolutely kills his entrance, and therefore Sandman in general.
Did you guys have this version of the song, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so we didn't even have it on One Night Stand?
Yeah.
And he did have it last year, right? I'm kind of glad you had to listen to that, because I've had it twice in a row now.
I was like, with Sandman, taking away his song takes away his entrance. Just go to Whole Hog and have him smoke electronic cigarettes. Sandman batters Eugene and sends him scurrying away. And that's the whole thing. Stay to him, by the way. He looks much better. He looks thinner. But looks way older.
His skin is like all saggy and shitty. Yeah, he looks like in his 50s.
No, but he does look so much thinner. You got to respect that. He got himself into some sort of shape. Come on.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
I think what the most insulting thing was the fact that he beat up a guy with, you know, that's supposed to be mentally disabled. That was the worst of it. Really vicious, really mean.
Shouldn't he have walked up and put his arm around him and say, gently led him backstage and sign his t-shirt?
Yeah, like, it's just really nasty stuff.
He was like making him beg and stuff. Like
it's not nice.
Yeah.
Although it's great when Kurt Angle does it.
Slap him in the face. That's fine. Go to Whole Hog. Have him chug water bottles.
God.
Come out in a polo t-shirt. He could be the...
Destroyed.
Be the next Kerwin White.
Oh, I love that gimmick, though.
Or he could be some kind of 50s Sandman, like, you know, the... Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. You were the worst wrestler I've ever seen. That over with, it's time for your main event.
Me. Come on, Jim Johnson, it's not that difficult.
Loyalty, respect. A legend, they never kill it, coming in the air. This moment happens once in a lifetime. My heart pumping, adrenaline pipeline. Right mind, right frame, right life, right game. This is my chance to shine in front of millions. And seen it back in the building.
It's your main event, WWE Champion John Cena versus Mr. Money in the Bank, Rob Van Dam. At WrestleMania 22, RVD won the Money in the Bank ladder match, and with it, a contract for a WWE Championship match at the date of his choosing. Unlike most Money in the Bank winners, RVD announced when and where he was cashing in, ECW One Night Stand. RVD and Heyman gloated over Cena's unpopularity with ECW fans and were delighted to tell him that if RVD wins, he'll bring the WWE title to ECW and rename it the ECW Championship. RVD enters to, honestly, a disappointing reaction. Like, it's a pop, but nothing like the cheers he'll get in a few minutes.
It's his fed song.
What of a cake! Jim Johnson, you've done it again! He's facing WWE Champion John Cena from West Newbury, Massachusetts, born and raised.
On the playground where he spends most of his days.
Having a degree in exercise physiology, he was originally a competitive bodybuilder before getting into wrestling and then OVW in 2001, debuting on SmackDown the following year as a bland babyface spouting ruthless aggression, sporting outfits that would match the state's sports teams.
Alright, stop. Collaborate and listen. Ice is back with a new proposition. Your position is that of a failure. I'm a nailer to Jamie Noble's trailer. And then I dare you to run around and cause a scare. Give people the shakes and make them change their underwear. I'm on top, it's my fault that you're under there. You want a bear? Have all those shingles back there. I'm fast, I gotta go, it's been a blast. Came out the locker room, stole Rey Mysterio's mask. Tried to get Taker's cast, but it was plastered on too tight. Beast, I gotta go about the hot wire fight.
He was actually on the chopping block until the Halloween edition of SmackDown. in 2002, rapping whilst dressed up as Vanilla Ice. His freestyling on the bus ride in front of Stephanie impressed her, and his word life heel white rapper gimmick was born. Feuding with The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar, his FU finisher was a parody of Brock's F5.
That's right.
He was so entertaining, he turned face the following year, and then got stabbed in the kidney, kayfabe, by Carlito's mate Jesus.
Jesus!
Over the US title.
There's no scar. Say he got stabbed in the ass, then you're not going to see the scar.
Yeah.
That's a bit hilarious.
Stabbed in, yeah.
That happens in prison, though. Don't people get stabbed in the ass?
He'd be walking like Terry Funk.
To make sure you got the old sunny bum, though.
JBL, be quick as a whip. By the end of 2004, Cena was the uncrowned top star in WWE, taking the championship from JBL at WrestleMania 21. However, just months into his title reign, contempt set in. Cena was, to be fair, always a sloppy wrestler, and his sugary, child-friendly, motivational babyface gimmick wore thin with veteran fans. What didn't help? Feuding with Chris Jericho, Christian, and Kurt Angle, all smart favourites. And even with Angle adopting angry foreigner Daivari as a manager, Cena was still getting booed in arenas around the world, splitting the audience between long-term fans and children slash OC.
Daivari, Jesus.
So this splitting the audience, it's been like that ever since. So tonight, at One Night Stand, the hate was at a fever pitch. But can you imagine telling fans in 2006 that it's 2014, Cena's the same, and fans are still just as angry?
God.
Would they quit watching wrestling?
They probably would.
Yeah.
I'd say they complain about it and continue to watch.
Yeah, probably. It's your giving out and your chanting that has kept them in that top spot. If you just turned your back,
you Joey Legend them.
He wouldn't be on top. Because then the fucking kids wouldn't meet your chance with the Let's Go Cena. Everything would be silence. And in wrestling, silence is death.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. As I mentioned earlier,
it's our fault.
Exactly. Just don't go to the show. Speak with your wallets.
Like. I saw this WWE t-shirt that says Cena sucks. Oh, I bought it. I gave him my $20. That'll show.
You fucking suckers.
Genius, though.
It's a brilliant marketing ploy because it worked.
The level of ignorance to like buy a Cena t-shirt to hate on Cena.
Yeah.
To give Cena money. It's like,
it's amazing.
I can't fathom the ignorance, you know.
Marks. Absolute marks.
Let the fuck you Cena chants begin. Cena enters to a harsh chorus of boos. Instead of his usual jovial running entrance, Cena, belt up and head down, walks to the ring, accepting the reaction while silently telling them that he's the champ. This is my favourite Cena entrance. It's just awesome.
Yeah.
Never has the phrase in enemy territory been so apt for John Cena amongst ECW fans. We get the infamous "if Cena wins, we riot" sign. I'm trying to explain the hostile atmosphere of him in this arena. It's like abject, unflinching hatred towards him. So I actually thought at the time they actually might riot because they've been drinking and it would only take a few of them to start it and they'd all join in.
Yeah.
You know? If Cena wins, we riot has to be the most famous wrestling sign in history. Can you think of any others?
Was it the Kane Dewey sign is pretty big? Yeah, there we go.
I've never seen it, but of course it started the Mick Foley promos and the heel ECW thing.
Austin 3:16 when they appeared the next Monday. That's pretty important.
After the 96 game.
Yeah.
Dean Titty Master Ambrose.
I don't get this. Where did this come from? I've been seeing memes and shit.
Because on house shows, he'd have his white tape and he wrote Titty Master on them.
That's okay. That's fucking awesome. Okay, fair enough.
Splice. Of course, in TNA, the they're here for Hogan and Bischoff. Do you remember? And they spelt their wrong.
T H E R E, was it?
T H E R E E E E. And of course, at WrestleMania 27, we get the historic youth hustling with Chris Eubank.
That's amazing.
That's Alan Partridge.
Yeah, yeah, it was just a sign saying youth hustling with Chris Eubank.
Oh, wasn't there one about Owen Coyle as well at a WrestleMania? Wasn't there?
Back in the, you know, mid-80s, there was one that says, Roddy Piper has AIDS.
Jeez.
I fucking showed it on TV as well.
That's a bit mean.
Whoa.
Yeah, and one of the greatest unplanned spots of all time. Cena throws his shirt out to the crowd, and with the egging on of fans, the catchers in the crowd throw it right back. It's incredible.
Whoever that man was, fair play. Give that man a can of Coke.
Take a boo.
Take a boo, son. Take a boo.
But more importantly was Cena, who was playing up to it, throwing
talking
it
like
back.
A champ, didn't he?
Yeah.
He
yeah.
got it and continued number yeah. two. Got it again, yeah. number three.
Yeah.
Could have ignored it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's great. Absolutely amazing.
The fifth guy spits on Cena's t-shirt, whilst the sixth guy wipes his ass with it and flips off Cena. It was like, holy
and
shit,
then
the heat.
Still picks it up. I would be like, they're kicking it away then
yeah.
at that point. No, no.
Yeah.
Not touching that now.
Drops it off to the side.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Would you throw it back?
No.
Probably not.
Would there be people shouting in your ear?
Oh, yeah.
That would be,
it, yeah.
There would be a lot of pressure to do it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I'd probably take my Cena shirt off and throw that one.
You'd take off Steve's Cena shirt.
You know the way we get Let's Go Cena, Cena Sucks dueling chants these days? All Night Stand 2006, we get Fuck You Cena, Fuck You Cena.
It was amazing.
Dueling chants. RVD smartly turns it into an RVD thumb spot, and now the crowd are vocal about their love for RVD. See, without Cena, meh. But with Cena being a heat magnet, he's the biggest face in the land.
RVD needed to do something to get some heat. You know, because like otherwise it's all for Cena, both negative and positive. Well, there's no positive in the show, but yeah, he did it.
Good job. For the opening, they take it easy, move and rest, letting the crowd get their chants out. And we also get a few rolls of toilet paper thrown in the ring to chants of Cena swallows and you can't wrestle. And a round of boos whenever Cena goes on offense. This entire night in general, and last show as well, it's hijacked by the crowd. But that's what makes these one-night stand shows so electric.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the crowd is the show, and the performers work hard to satiate them. And then we get same old shit and overrated. Jeremiah Allen points out the hypocrisy of chanting this at Cena, but not RVD. Like, the same old shit.
It's a great point.
It's especially RVD nowadays, because he's 15, or he's 8 years old or something, and he's slowed down an awful lot, and he's trying to do the same moves, the same spots, and he's had a lot of stinkers lately, and with good fucking wrestlers, like. So, yeah.
RVD hasn't changed his moveset in 20 years, although it is an awesome moveset, as opposed to Cena, who awkwardly performs simple moves. Like, I'm not giving out about his storytelling. Storytelling's amazing.
You could probably argue that Cena's best matches might be better than RVD's best.
Yeah, I'd agree.
But RVD is better than Cena. It's weird how yeah. things like that work.
Like, RVD's fundamentals are much better than Cena, but
yeah.
his storytelling is way lower than Cena.
Yeah.
I'll say Cena's is way higher.
I'm going to get loads of guffered saying that Cena's matches are better than RVD's best.
Outside, Cena throws RVD to the railing, but his head, cheek first, smacks the camera. Into the crowd, the champ punches RVD through a sign saying Cena sucks.
That was great.
It was a great spot. And it's here that, no, ECW fans won't riot. They're loud and vulgar, but they're very cordial.
Did you notice that RVD had a fucking shit ton of back knee?
You're obsessed with back knee.
Banging the roids.
Bia! Van Sarah Connor. Cena was out of place, or RVD forgot to put him in place for the next spot, so Van Damme goes for a cover instead before setting up and going for his Rolling Thunder on a chair. Cena turns the tide. He counters a split-legged moonsault with a chair, then DDTs OVD onto it, and then wheelbarrows him headfirst into a chair to the turnbuckle post. That's really nasty.
OVD sold that spot like a boss. There are some moves that he sells better than anyone else, especially DDT.
I also love his flat back bump as well.
Oh, when he goes over the ropes?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. That's scary to watch.
I know Cena expected an angry reaction, but throughout this match, I was just blown away. I was impressed how he kept his cool and worked off the crowd. He fed off them and gave it back as well.
Are you watching this, Dave Bautista? Who's... No. Splicey the shit out of that. It's priceless.
Yeah, it was like Batista would throw a strop immediately and the match would tank.
Yeah.
Just straight into the ground. Same old shit, five knuckle shuffle. And Cena chortles to himself, but is denied his FU to asshole chance. Cena does a nice powerbomb throw, which is met with a you still suck chant, which is hilarious admission that it was nice. Then we get a failed spot. RVD considers a Van Terminator with Cena on the ropes, but can't do it and they just leave it go. So great to see Cena reacting to the hostile environment. STFU to RVD, who eventually painstakingly makes the ropes.
Hilarious selling on this move.
As a receipt, Cena knocks referee John Finnegan out.
Which I loved.
It's just this awesome bad guy antics here. It was great. It was awesome to see it. And he's right. This shouldn't have had to break that move.
Yeah. Making the ropes is a load of bollocks. It's a fucking extreme rules match. And then, you know, like a new ref comes in and we get a fuck Nick Patrick chant.
Yes.
Great.
Time to go home. A masked man.
A helmeted man.
A helmeted man spears Cena through the table. Actually, the masked man here took the complete brunt of the spear. He jumped through the table and pushed Cena to safety beside. It's Edge, the man Cena beat for the WWE title. He receives thank you, Edge chance.
What was the point of the helmet? It wasn't a big reveal. I mean, he had the helmet on for 10 seconds.
This is like a remnant of prior booking because they originally had this masked man spot for another wrestler. It was supposed to be Orton.
Really?
You know, coming back, oh my god, he's back from suspension, you know, and he can fight John Cena.
Because, you know, we've never seen that feud before.
A bewildered RVD capitalizes by hitting a 5-star frog splash as Heyman runs into the ring and counts the fall. An extremely fair count, by the way. After 20 minutes, 39 seconds, RVD is announced as the new ECW champion and they celebrate in the ring amidst controversy. Edge running interference on the Heyman count protects Cena. There's an air of uncertainty if the win would actually count or if WWE would weasel out of it. So it's very much tune in to Raw to find out. So by the time you find out that it does stand on Raw, it's more of a, oh, right. It's quite anticlimactic. So yeah, I thought it quite took away from the celebrations tonight. What do you think?
Yeah, it was really, really good fun. The crowd obviously made it, there's no question. Cena was phenomenal in how he continued to react to the crowd and made the match really good. I thought RVD was a passenger. It could have been anyone out there. I don't think he was put over. The match was about Cena versus the crowd, not about Cena versus RVD. And RVD, he got some heat from Cena, but not nearly as much as he should have. At the end, I don't understand the need to have Edge run in. They're setting up a feud with Edge and Cena. Fine, do it on Raw. Don't do it here. Let RVD win clean. Especially if you're going to let the match stand anyway.
Mm.
But overall, an incredibly enjoyable 20 minutes.
Mm. I agree with most of this. Yeah, fans were absolutely incredible. The heat was unbelievable. Cena, not only was he a good worker in this match, but he was an amazing worker of the fans. He had them in the palm of his hand. I disagree with people who say John Cena's a bad wrestler. I think a bad wrestler can't be dragged to a quality match. I think Cena has had enough quality matches to
say that, look, he's fine. He's not top wrestler. He's not the fucking best in the world, but he's fine. However, loved watching John Cena work heel. I mean, how long has it been since we've seen John Cena work heel? It's fucking decade nearly. He was awesome. Although, I completely agree about the ending. It took away from Rob's win. It should have been his moment. It should have been one of those moments that you be talk about forever. But what you really talk about is the fan that threw the top back, you know? But overall, loved this match. Really, really good.
Cool. I also absolutely love this match. This is my favourite RVD match and actually my favourite Cena match as well. The two don't actually work that well together. There were some notable blown spots and it wasn't a storied dramatic match in ring, but it doesn't matter as the crowd were out of their minds. They were just rabid for this matchup as soon as Cena's music first hit. It was an emotional affair and another iconic matchup. RVD heads out into the crowd, who kindly mob him, embraces his wife Sonya, and ECW superstars fill up the ring, starting with those ECW faithful scamps, The Big Show and Kurt Angle.
God.
RVD is hoisted up as the wrestlers have a beer and celebrate a wonderful culmination, the biggest night in RVD's career, and Joey Styles signs off to close the show.
History has been made here at ECW One Night Stand. Rob Van Dam is the new WWE ECW Heavyweight Champion of the World.
So, what did you think of the show?
Overall, I very much enjoyed the show. I thought it was an easy watch. There were no amazing matches on it, but there were some pretty good matches. But more importantly, there was not many bad matches, except for the, you know, Taz's 30-second shitfest and fucking balls with his chair shots. I just got through some of the things that I enjoyed and I didn't. I really liked Angle Orton. Taught some great heat and a decent match. Sabu, Sin Bocce, fan-fucking-tastic. The match was good as well. Edge, I thought he was fantastic, great heel. Lita's breasts. Main event and the crowd, which I save for last because they were the star of the show. Things I hated about the show. Taz, match and commentary. Big Show jobbing out half of the roster. The end of Sabu versus Ray, I thought neither man really looked good from it. I hated the six-man bloodfest. And the fact that, despite this being an ECW show, no ECW guys were really put over. Probably not as good as 2005, although that's more down to the lack of great promos than in-ring action. But overall, fantastic. Two thumbs up.
I thought it was an entertaining show. Didn't enjoy the first two matches at all. And then there was a couple of matches which are okay. Loved Rey Sabu. And then obviously the main event, but for very different reasons. Overall, okay in ring-wise. Iconic for certain reasons. Mainly, obviously, the main event. But not a patch on last year's.
Definitely much more of a wrestling pay-per-view than a reunion show. Like, last year was a nostalgia trip on the history of ECW, and this year was here to kick off its future. Heyman and Vince knew a straight rehashing of old ECW wouldn't work because it's WWE-funded ECW, and although hardcore wrestling was fresh in the mid-90s, it's 2006. Hardcore wrestling's been mainstream for 7 years. One Night Stand 2006 was a great ECW-WWE hybrid. I thought it was a fantastic grungy mix of hardcore and character-centered storylines in front of a really hot crowd. It didn't have the same impact as the first nostalgia-filled One Night Stand, but watching this at the time, I was ecstatic, and I still think it's an excellent show, and it holds up really well. Only negatives were their Ray finish. No Mike Awesome, no Gertner, no Cronus. Overall, I'd say last year's was better, but that's like an A+ and an A. I also think it's quite laudable of WWE to allow themselves to be portrayed as the villains again tonight. The opposite of what WWE usually do, which is rewrite history to make themselves look better. Like, even the rise and fall of ECW, it's like, when WWE steal ECW talent, it's, oh, we're giving them an opportunity. Mm. But when WCW do it, oh, they're raiding talent. So, how did One Night Stand 2006 do? Well, commercially, it was a rousing success again, convincing 304,000 homes to part with their cash, which was 29,000 less than last year, but all the pay-per-views were down in 2006, so it's still the same 70,000 above the average B pay-per-view WWE were putting on. And for now, ECW was riding high. Right at this moment, like 11:55 on the Sunday. We're going to talk about Tuesday, but that's next time. So before we sign out for the evening, let's take it to the wrestling is... Your mother taught me how! Segment.
Awesome!
Just look at me. Yeah. Oh, just look at me. Ain't I a sight to see? The whole damn world wants to look like me, but they don't. So just look at me. Unlike you, been around the world. And unlike you, I've had my way with many, many girls. Every morning they say the same damn thing. How can you be so good at everything? And I say, it's just so easy for me. It's just so easy. Each time I stare into my mirror, it's such a great surprise. Each time I stare into that mirror, baby, I just have to realize why they all take every star in Hollywood and throw them in the sea. Take every star in Hollywood, baby. They're all falling stars to me. Watch them burn out in the ocean, baby. Then turn around to see me standing in the sunset. And you can look at me. Each time I stare into my mirror, it's such a great surprise. Each time I stare into that mirror, baby, I just have to realize why they all look at me. Mm-hmm. Just look at me. Don't you wish you looked like me? But you don't. So just look at me. You know you don't, you know you don't. So just look at me. Look at me.
Before we put this one to bed, separate beds. Let's take it to the wrestling ears. Now we can spell
that one already.
Episode 39 is in the books. Good stuff, Lance.
Yep.
Next on the list is the infamous December to Dismember, but we'll also cover the first episode of ECW on Sci-Fi. So depending on how long that takes to record, we might have a Brucey bonus episode before then. If not, we'll just lump it in with December to Dismember. We won't know until we record it. Spoilers. So, how would the launch of the new breed Unleashed go? Amazing? Average? Or fuck right off? Tune in next time for that. So, it's a goodbye from OSC.
There it.
V1.
Pick a boot.
And myself, Jay Hunter. And remember... Oh, and there is you.